good to see you. Welcome. Welcome to the Grace Centre. Welcome to Grace Church. Some of you I know really well, but I'm seeing a few new faces here this morning, and I particularly want to say welcome to you if you're new amongst us. Just lovely to have you with us. Maybe it's because you're looking for a church to belong to, in which case it's my heart cry and prayer that you would look no further. There is a place for you here at Grace Church. We love it when people come and are part of our church family and get on with enjoying and serving God here amongst us. My name's Steve Petch. I have the privilege of leading Grace Church across both its sites in Chichester and in Bognor, and soon to be in Midhurst too as well. And it's great. I love it. So this morning I'm going to be preaching to you. Then when I've finished, at some point I will slip out the door off to Bognor. I'll be preaching in our Bognor congregation as well. But the plan is to get done in good time down there, because I want to get back for some student 20s lunch. Because I figure I may not be young enough, but I think I still look it. I think you would agree. So, Jo's down there. My lovely wife is down there today, leading worship for our Bognor congregation, which is great. And I'm, but if those of you don't know her, you'll see a picture of her in a minute. So, see how. Is this sounding all right? I'm hearing an echo. Are you all right? Are you? Okay, it's just me. Right, brilliant. Well, we're carrying on our preaching series, which is called Our Commission. And during the series, we're addressing a question. And the question is this: what is the church here to do? What is the church here to do? It's a question we can ask about the church in general. We can ask it about Grace Church specifically. We can even ask it about our own lives as Christians, because we are God's church. Why are we here? What is our purpose? And of course, the best place to find the answers is to go to the Bible. That's what we don't preach anything other than the Bible. Bible gives us clear answers to the question. And one of the clearest answers is what this series is built around, which is the Great Commission, which is what people call it, the Great Commission, a passage from Matthew, which I'm going to put up on the screen. So we're going to read this together. And this is really my passage for the day, so I've got it on the screen. So we haven't given out Bibles this morning. If you want a copy of the Bible to follow through on your own, put your hand up and our stewards will bring you one in your seat. And if your hand is up to borrow one of our Bibles and the reason is you don't own your own, you can keep this one. It's just the ESV Bible. We want every person to own a Bible, and just write your name in the front and bring it back next week. Do you know what I mean? Is that all right? So obviously if you've got 25 at home, don't take another one, but we'll have it back. But yeah, we don't want anyone to miss out. Get a Bible. Okay, let's go for it. Matthew 28, 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Let's read. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So that's the Great Commission. Now, the truth is, as Christians, we do not need to thrash around looking for reasons to justify our existence as a church, because we've already got a Great Commission from Jesus, which is very simple: go and make disciples of all nations. That's what the church is here to do. We've been taking the passage bit by bit each week. We started with the phrase that Jesus came and said to them. We saw how this Great Commission is rooted, first of all, in the fact that Jesus came into the world from heaven, that he spoke, that he revealed God the Father to us, that his life didn't begin when he was conceived or when he was born, that Jesus was before all creation, that everything that has been made through him. God eternal, who always was, became a human being in Jesus, and he did it for several reasons, and one of those was to reveal to us what God is like, to reveal the Father to us. So our commission is first of all rooted that Jesus came and Jesus spoke and revealed God to us. And then last week we moved on, didn't we? We looked at this bit: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We saw how Jesus didn't only come to reveal God to us, he also came to destroy sin and death. He paid the price for sin. He opened the way for us to know God. A verse that sticks with me, 1 John 3 verse 8, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." And we saw how Jesus won all authority at the cross, how his resurrection sealed it for all eternity, that there's no other name given to us by which we must be saved, no other name that is greater or higher than the name of Jesus. All authority belongs to Jesus. He has won it, and he has the authority to send us in his name. So Jesus came and spoke, revealed God to us, won all authority in heaven and on earth, and the world may look a mess, Jesus has a redemption plan. Remember we heard about that. Sometimes it doesn't look like God is in control, but Jesus has a redemption plan and it is in operation. So the way to God is open for all who believe in Christ, in Jesus. Sin can be forgiven. You can have eternal life through faith in his name. The kingdom of God is at hand. Sickness can be healed. Demons cast out. Repentance and forgiveness of sin is preached in the name of Jesus. That's what we are here for. That's what we stand for. And so now as Christians, as a church, and as individual Christians, we have a commission from Jesus. And this is what he then tells us to go and do. And it starts with this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and I'm with you always to the end of the age. So today we're going to focus on this bit, the go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's today's bit, okay? And I'm going to do it in three parts. I'm going to do go, I'm going to do make disciples, and I'm going to do all nations, and then we're going to pray. Does that sound all right? So that's the plan. That's where we're going this morning. So first of all, let's talk about this word, go. Now, let me ask you a question. Think about this for a moment. If God were to speak to you today, if he were to, reveal to you his will in letters of fire written in the sky, or send an angelic visitation to you, something utterly unmistakable. If God were to speak to you and say to you, Richard, Wendy, whatever your name is, Ali, John, I'm calling you, Andy, I'm calling you, Julie, I want you to move for me, and I want you to move to such and such a place. And God would have sent you somewhere else in the United Kingdom. The question is, where is the last place you would want him to send you? All right, so when you think about it, just stick with the UK for a minute. Where in the UK is the last place you would want him to send you? So I'd love to hear some answers on this. Glasgow. I'm here in Glasgow. Any particular reason? No reason given, that's fine. Anyone else? Basingstoke? I'm hearing Basingstoke. Liverpool? Wales? What's wrong with Wales? I wouldn't have my wife if it wasn't for Wales. Oh, that's where you'd like to go. Jen would like to go to Disneyland Paris. I don't blame you. Central London. Yeah, central. It's the extremes, isn't it, that we seem to be not so keen on. Wales, central London, Liverpool, Basingstoke. Personally, for me, it would have to be anywhere north because it's cold and wet. And I'm not too keen on Kent because I've got a theory that I think Kent smells of sewage. And it did when I went there. That's all I'm saying. Let's broaden it a little bit. What if God were to speak to you and send you to another nation? Okay, let's think nations. Where is the last place on earth that you would want God to send you? All right, so forget the UK. Syria. I'm hearing Syria. Don't want to be sent to Syria. Where else don't we want to go? Iraq? North Korea. Yeah, not keen on North Korea. I'm hearing that. That's good. Okay. France. Bonjour. I'm not going to repeat that. Anywhere else? Russia. It's funny, isn't it? We start to think Russia, Iraq, Syria, North Korea. It does put the UK into perspective, doesn't it? So what do we think? North Korea or Basingstoke, Dave? What are you going to go for? It's still in the balance. Okay. When Joe and I were contemplating getting married, we did consider if God was calling us to go to another nation. And we went out to Kenya. So I'm hoping I can get my pictures to appear. Here we go. That's us. And this was before we were married. I've been married 20 years now, so that puts it in perspective. And that's us in Kenya. The top left one there, that's Joe with the Maasai. And just so that's not the tourist Maasai either. That's the real. They really do live like that. These are people that have never seen a white face, and they adopted Joe while there. They kind of they were all over a hair. Just couldn't never seen anything like it. All over her hair, all over your skin. So this was, we went out with them, amongst other things, a medical clinic. I had fun. I was a pharmacist and I had fun. I was doing vaccinations of polio for babies, which was fun. Part of the thing. They basically just threw it at me and said, you can do that. And I'm thinking, yeah, we don't do that actually in the UK. That's what nurses do really and doctors say. But off I went. So we had fun. And you can see me, there's me in the denim jacket and beige trousers. That was okay back then. But if anyone's wondering, we don't do that anymore. Okay, so Yeah, there we are. And then the bottom there, that's outside a church building near where we were. Those are local Kalenjin Kenyans. And then that was me. I'm preaching what was one of my first sermons in a church there. But that was unusual because that was actually in a building. But we had some fun. We were with missionaries with the Africa Inland Mission. It was very rural. No electricity, no gas. Water was collected off the roof when it rained. And you kept it clean with a catapult by keeping the pigeons off. Seriously. And no toilets, just long drops, big spiders. There's one particular one lived in the corner of one particular long drop. You could just see it there every day. Wild elephants one night. It was fun. Bandits preaching largely in mud huts. Proper missionary experience. And we concluded at the end of this time that God was definitely not calling us to Kenya. And all joking aside, because I went with a really open heart thing, is this what the Lord is calling us to do? We went and looked at something else. We looked at a youth with a mission ship, the Anastasis. Anyone heard of that one? There was a job there for a pharmacist, and we looked at that, and actually a friend of mine took it. It wasn't, again, we came off and thought, not us. This is not God's will for our lives. That was our conclusion. And actually quickly concluded that God wanted us here in the United Kingdom. And so far, that hasn't changed. And for most people here, I guess that is also true, that most of us are not called to relocate either here in the UK or overseas. Most of us are called to stay where we are. On which basis, how then do we fulfill this command to go and make disciples? See, that word go must still apply to us, and it's got to therefore be about much more than just relocating. Does that make sense? It's got to be about more than relocating, because while some are called to go, we're not all called to go elsewhere. And so some of us will be called to other nations, and some of us will be called to move to other parts of the United Kingdom, maybe for church plants and things like that. But whether or not we're called to relocate, you are definitely called to go. And so what I think we need to do is to think about this word and let it apply to our attitude. We need to let it shape our attitude and shape our intentionality. God may not have called me to Africa, but he's still called each one of us to be a missionary, if I can use that phrase, and we need to go right where we live. So as an example, when Joe and I lived in Billingshurst, where we planted our last church, we met a couple there who'd moved back to the UK from working as missionaries in another nation. They were all a bit beaten up, as I remember. And I do remember how, after Joe had got to know the wife of this couple a little bit, she said something to Joe one day, and it was like the lights had gone on in her head. She said this. She said, "So what I've worked out is this, that you and Steve are actually missionaries, but you're just doing it here in England." And I thought, yeah. So Joe came out and said, "That's what I said." I said, "Yeah, bang on. That's exactly it. Yes, you've seen it. That's exactly how we see it. I believe God's called us to be missionaries to the United Kingdom. And that's why we want to see churches planted here and congregations established. And that's why we do what we do together. And it's my hope and prayer that it comes out in Grace Church as well." So if you want to understand Grace Church at all, some of you may be newer here. If you want to understand this church, if you want to get it at all, you've got to understand one thing. That we are primarily here for mission and for reaching lost people with the gospel. That's why we exist. Does that make sense? I'm honored to come out. So, you know, Alpha again, yes. Street work again, yes. Because we're here to reach lost people with the gospel. Get baptized, go to church. Yeah, that's because we're here to make disciples. That's what the Great Commission calls us to do. That's why Grace Church exists. And may I add, that's why every church should exist. That's why Jesus gave the church. If you don't get that, you'll never understand us. Because we are not here to focus as a church on soaking or inner healing or creative arts or saving the blue whale or campaigning against Nestle or making worship CDs or building a big building or running a coffee shop. We're here to reach lost people. First, middle, last. Turn lost people into disciples of Jesus. That's the goal. That's the mission. That's the vision. Woe to us if we fail to preach the gospel. What do you think? Are we all right with that? Amen. Now, I want to catch the bigger picture because, on the other hand, I love coffee shops. I love big buildings. I hugely love worship CDs. I am a huge fan of creative arts. Inner healing, that's great. Soaking in the Holy Spirit, brilliant. And hey, let's also save the blue whale. But we can do all of those things so far as they help us reach lost people and make disciples for Jesus. Does that make sense? It's not the activity, it's the motive behind it. That's, as long as they're helping us to make disciples for Jesus, we can do the lot. And sometimes, I just want to get this, right? If something is possible for us to do, but doesn't help us make disciples of Jesus, we ain't doing it. So does that make sense? I'm hoping that's quite clear. There's a lot of lost people out there, so there's a reason sometimes that our church diary is busy. And it is busy. You look, okay, it's busy. I'll tell you why our church diary is busy. It's busy because out there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of lost people, and in here, there's lots and lots of discipleship needed. And that's why we get quite busy. The church in this nation is struggling. And I know there are places where you've got a good church, you know, people build a big church and hundreds of people turn up, and that's brilliant. And there are places where God has blessed churches, and we don't get any fruit without the Holy Spirit's work in blessing us. But overall, the church in our nation is struggling. We're not making good progress. In fact, missionaries are now coming to the United Kingdom from other nations because they have recognized how lost this nation is becoming. Places to which we once sent are now coming here because they're looking at the church going, man, they're completely failing. We need to go and do something. It's time for every Christian in the United Kingdom to recognize that God has called them to go, to have an attitude that says, Jesus has sent me and I must go. I'm called to be a missionary sent for Jesus right here, right now, 24/7, where I live, where I work. Jesus said go, so let's go for our town. And if you're at school, you're a missionary to your school. And if you're a student, you're a missionary in the university. You thought you came to get a degree? Yeah, there is that. But really, you're here to be a missionary for Jesus. You're at work. Oh, you thought, oh, I'd go to work to earn money. Yeah, actually, you go to be a missionary for Jesus. That's what you're there for. If you're at home with your kids, you're there to be a missionary to your children and their friends and their friends' parents. If you're out with friends, just out for fun. No, you're out to witness for Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Go. That's what we're called to do. That's the mission of the church. So when you say it with me, Jesus said, go. All right, that's what we're going to do. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go. So get it in your hearts. And let's live in a way that's intentionally. Secondly, so go make disciples. I want you to notice it doesn't say make Christians. The word Christian was a nickname given to the early followers of Jesus. It doesn't occur until Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Where it says the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. It would have been some years into church life. Antioch was a city in Turkey. It was famed for giving people nicknames. One time that city nicknamed the wrong person, the wrong emperor who came, invaded and flattened the city and burnt it to the ground because he didn't like the nickname that he'd been given by them. So genuinely, they have a habit. That city gave people nicknames in history and nicknamed every emperor and every ruler they ever had. But the word Christian was coined in Antioch, and it was an insult. It's a 2,000 year old insult for Jesus followers, Christians, little Jesus, yeah, you little Jesus. It's an insult I'm very happy to own. I'm a Christian. That's me. I'm a Christian. You're Christian? I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus. But it wasn't a word Jesus used because it hadn't been invented. A Christian is a nickname for a Jesus disciple. The very essence of being a Christian is that you're a follower of Jesus. So a disciple fundamentally is a follower. It starts with people responding to the gospel, getting saved and baptized, and then it continues as we learn to live like Jesus calls us to live and do what Jesus calls us to do. That's what a Christian is. It's much more than sticking your hand up in a meeting or coming to church or praying a prayer. If you're a Christian, what you are fundamentally is a disciple of Jesus. Does that make some sense? Does that make sense? It affects all our lives. It's all of us, 100%, 24/7. 365 a year. You know, there's no break. We are disciples of Jesus if we're Christians. Discipleship is a lifelong process. We start off as baby Christians. And we need to be fed because we are babies. We don't feed them, they die. So we've got to feed the babies, feed the baby Christians. Things like alpha and beta and stuff like that. And then we grow towards maturity, don't we? As we grow, we learn to feed ourselves, don't we? That's how, because if you're still feeding your 16-year-old with a spoon, it's because they haven't developed properly. Yeah, does that make sense? It does happen sometimes. But actually, we need to grow and feed ourselves. We're disciples of Jesus. So that means we should be never stopping in our growth in Jesus. It's all of life. It means we should be looking ultimately for direct input from Jesus into our lives. I mean, we're his disciples. Funny, it's Jesus is number one, so it's him. So we should expect him to speak to us. As we read the Bible, as we pray, as we listen to him, we should expect to hear from him directly. And he'd also disciples us through others. So we need to get to church, listen to the preaching, put it into practice, get the download if you miss it, get to your life group, hear what God is saying, put that into practice. If you want discipleship in a specific area, you can find someone who's ahead of you and get alongside them and drain them dry if they'll let you. And as a church, we do loads of things to make disciples, don't we? We do Alpha Course, Beta Course, Freedom in Christ, Sparklers, Supernovas and Energize, a sixth form group, Students and Twenties Ministry, Inspire for Women, Men's Ministry for Men, Tuesday Group, Life Group, Street Work, Sunday Preaching, Downloads, Membership Days and Faith 360, which we'll do again next year. We're even starting the Marriage Course now too. Every one of those things, they're all about discipleship, which is why we need to be there, either leading stuff, so we're discipling others, or getting input because we need to grow. So two questions to consider. How are you involved in making disciples? That's question one. Every one of us should be involved in some way. So, of course, that includes sharing the gospel with people. But it's more than that. If you're a new Christian, you might need to be receiving input. But if you've been a Christian a while, you might need to be ready to start helping others too. Freely you've received, freely give. Oh, I'm busy. Yeah, well, get involved. Come on. It's time to step up and serve some way in disciple making. And the second question I've got is this: what discipleship What discipleship step do you need to take next to move towards maturity? That's the question, just to think about that for a moment. What do you need to do next? Maybe there's a step of faith or a step of repentance that you need to take. Maybe there's a stepping into serving in some way. Does that make sense? Is it time that you need, I need to take this faith step to be a Jesus disciple? I need to turn away from that and start living. Or what do you need to do? Maybe for some today, the answer is to get baptized. And we'll actually talk a bit about that next time, which will be interesting, see what that means. Second thing, maybe some of you need to join the church. I think the key part of being a disciple of Jesus is to be a member of his body. And we're doing our next kind of Explorer Membership Day Saturday, this Saturday, 9 to 1. Sign up or just turn up. And I know some of you have been here quite a while and are very involved in all sorts of ways, which is brilliant. You can do that. You know, just get on, keep doing that, please. But maybe you haven't joined. Maybe you're not even sure why membership matters. And I say, come and find out. It's a completely biblical principle that you should belong to a local church body. So come and find out. And by the way, in the new year, I'm going to do one in a couple of evenings. If you can't make Saturdays, I'm going to do a couple of evening sessions in the new year. But anyway, there you go. How else can you? Reading the Bible. Maybe that's something some of you need to begin for being a disciple is reading the Bible. Well, you know, maybe God will speak to you there. Or maybe it's learning to pray. For some, praying 5 minutes a day would be a five-minute step-up and could make a huge difference. You'd be surprised how much God speaks to you, even in just 5 minutes. Maybe there's a lifestyle change, or say a faith step, a decision to serve, to give, to commit. What question, I suppose, is what's God doing in you at the moment? What's he saying to you? And sometimes you analyse it a bit by what does he keep bringing you back to? Does that make sense? So you don't want to be motivated by guilt. You've got to be listening to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. What is it that God keeps bringing you back to, and everywhere you go, you end up back at the same point? That might be something to consider moving forward. Am I making sense? Okay. Third one. All nations. Make disciples of all nations. Now, the Bible's clear that the gospel is meant to go to all nations. Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples of all nations. So we've had that one. But Luke 24:28 says it as well. It says, repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then in Acts, in the book of Acts, Jesus put it like this. He said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, that theme is pretty consistent. The gospel is supposed to go right out to the ends of the earth. And I'm pretty glad that that's the case and that Jesus wanted the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, because when he said that, guess where the ends of the earth was? Right, it's here. Yeah, the barbarians over the sea. You know, it was us. We were the ends of the earth. I mean, you know, this was like the distant, far-flung corners of the empire. It was the United Kingdom. They hadn't, you know, built a wall shortly afterwards, didn't they, to keep the Scottish out and things like that. But we really were. The ends of the earth meant us. And how glad I am that people came with the gospel, many of them paying for it with their lives. Paying for it with their lives. Martyrs in this nation for the gospel. Quick question, who has, let's do a handshake, who's lived in another nation for the sake of the gospel? Let's put your hands up, do you know, for the sake of the gospel. Rich Elizabeth, where was that? Zaire, that's great, yeah, okay. Okay, Davina, where's that? India, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia. Catherine, are you? Bosnia. Yeah, that's fantastic. And Dave and Ashley, what about you guys? Zambia. Okay, so there's quite a few. Oh, hello, Monica.
England,
yes, of course, absolutely. Who have I missed someone?
The US.
The United States, Andrew, that's brilliant. I hope I haven't missed anybody else.
And
you went to America, Jim, fantastic. We're glad you're here too, Jen, that's fantastic. Now, a panda too, that's good. Now, if that word go is about our attitude, about living intentionally, and if not everyone is called to relocate, we've got to remember that some most definitely are called to do that. Some are. And one of the reasons that I'm keen for us to build good connections, as we're doing now with some of the commission churches in India, and I'm going out there in November myself, is that I want us as a church to be engaged in God's mission to the nations. And even if we can't all go, some will. So the question just to think about is, how can we connect to world mission as a church? Now, we've already heard one answer to that, which is that some will go ourselves. And that's good to have heard. People in our church have gone to different places, quite a range of nations that was mentioned there. And I know there are people as well already thinking about other things, like Spain, for example, is on the agenda for some. And we're going to see what future opens up for people. But there's lots of ways we can connect. What if you're here and you think, well, I'm never going to go somewhere. You know, I don't think that's what God wants for me. How can you connect to world mission as a church? I want to suggest two ways. First way is like this. So it's being aware of what is going on elsewhere. So we can connect by being aware. And we want our awareness to grow, not just of India, but, you know, also Spain and Portugal and South America, where commission's working. But not just commission things. What about organisations like Open Doors or Release International? They give great opportunity to hear what's going on and to pray and write letters. And so you can connect by giving. There may be opportunity for that, even with us with India soon. We can connect by praying, again, getting information and praying. We can connect by going and short-term trips. We can connect by sending. When God clearly calls people, we want to send them well. And sometimes on the back of that, we connect by supporting. So when we've got a heart link with someone as a church, when they've gone out from us and remain in ongoing relationship with us, and sometimes we're going to want to keep ongoing support, like we do with Josh Garraway in Turkey, which is great. You can give to him. If you're a church member, inside the website, there's a whole section on what he's doing. You can read all his newsletters and stuff. That's obviously not for public consumption, but that's there. And that's really, really important, isn't it? So there, we can go, we can support those that are going and build our connections as a church. And there's one other way that I think is really key as well, and it's this, that in the UK, in this time where we live, have you noticed that God has brought the nations to us? I don't know what you think about people from other nations living here. I'm not going to ask you to comment, but if you were really honest, I wonder what you really think about other people from other nations living here. Or when they move in next door to you. What do we think about that? It's important that we remember that we are Christians before we are Daily Mail readers, if you know what I mean. We're Christians. And in fact, the Bible tells us that we should be welcoming and befriend people from other nations and look after what the Bible phrase would be, aliens and strangers in our land. Actually, we've got a duty before God to be welcoming. Well, that's actually a Christian principle that's written through scripture. Let's just do a quick if you've got the courage to say, who came here from another nation, who was born in another nation and now makes this place home? Would you put your hands up? We just want to, let's find out where people have come from. Is that all right? So I'm going to go around. Why don't you sort of shout out for me if you're willing to? Well, let's find out. Let's just go around. What nations have we got here? Zambia, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, yes, good. You may have to shout loud, some of you. I'm hearing Nigeria here. I know that one. Ireland, fantastic.
Germany.
Congo. Is anyone keeping count? Oh, I wasn't. I wish I had now. Let's keep going around. Gibraltar, fantastic. South Africa. There's two of you, isn't there? South Africa, yeah. South Africa. Hungary, yeah. Hong Kong. There's two more from Hong Kong over the back. I haven't put their hands up. Anyone else? Have I missed anyone? Chris, you said, didn't you? Congo. Brilliant. Right, okay, brilliant. So that is quite a spread. Africa, Asia, America, United States. Yeah, fantastic. We are a diverse bunch of people here, and it's good. And if you're here from another nation, may I say, on behalf of everyone else from here on the church, welcome. And you may have been here some years, so it may feel a bit late in the process. But genuine, in fact, some of you, I can see, have probably lived here longer than I've been alive. But, you know, that's another matter. But seriously, I want to say, welcome. We love having you with us as a church. We love that we're not all just white, British, middle class. Well, maybe we're middle class. I don't know. I think we probably are. Well, I think we want to be in Chichester. I've discovered this. Bognor's working class. Chichester wants to be middle class. And Midhurst is middle class. That's been my observation of the three sides. Call me wrong. But when I was served beetroot salad, it wasn't in Bognor. I thought it was interesting. You know, it was lovely. I actually loved it, by the way. It's one of my favourite things, hummus and things. I didn't get that in Bognor. And equally, pizza. Got to love Bognor pizza. Yeah, absolutely. Fish and chips. We love it all. We're a mix, aren't we? The point I want to make is this, that God has brought us a mission field to this nation. And it seems to be happening more and more. And every government policy comes up, and then the stats go even more. People have arrived in the UK. And I don't know what your attitude is, but we need to remember to be welcoming, to befriend people, to learn their culture, to get over fear, to get over prejudice, to share Jesus with people, because Jesus called us to go and make disciples of all nations. And he's so lovely to you, he said, I'm going to bring the nations here, so you can do it right here. And then we sometimes may have the joy then of sending people back to their own culture and nation. If they, you know, some people are here just for a season, we send them back so maybe they can plant churches and help build the kingdom of God in other nations. That's how the whole New Frontiers work in Kenya came about. That's how the whole New Frontiers work in Ghana came about. And can I add, that's how most of the New Frontiers work in Australia has come about. People from other nations have come here, got connected in with our churches, learned, grown, understood values, and gone back and taken the gospel with them. From our church in Dubai, people have gone into multiple nations. That's why, as the New Frontiers, we're connected with churches in Pakistan and Armenia, where we had our first martyr as a New Frontiers church. One of the pastors got shot. And India. And these things have come about because God has worked in all different nations. 60 different nations now. For commission, our portion of that is Spain, Portugal, India, and pushing into Brazil and South America more and more. But listen, my friends, we need to be open-hearted towards the nations of this world. There is so much more I could say on this, but Jesus has called us to go and make disciples of all nations. That is his instruction to us as a church. That's what we need to be doing. That is our commission. We can all play a part, and I just want to implore you, get connected into this church, because we are fulfilling Jesus' great commission together. That's what we're about. Is that all right? Yeah. Questions? No one ever does. I'll say question. No one ever sends me a question. Okay, it's fine. One day. Okay. But just before I finish, I want to take a moment just to talk about something I mentioned, and then we're going to pray together. I mentioned this before the summer. I mentioned our church vision statement, which up to now has always read this. Our vision of Grace Church is to build a radical church family of 1,000 committed members reaching from the city to the sea. We've talked about that over time. Every time you come on a membership day, you'll have heard it. I've used it on Sundays. I've spoken about it at gift days. I've done all sorts of stuff. Hopefully that is familiar. If it's not at all familiar, it's good to have you with us, but don't try and learn this, because as I said over the summer, I felt it was time to tweak it. And the reason I think there are two things that have happened in the last few years that mean that we need to tweak it, because this is written really to put us in line with the Great Commission. The first thing that's happened that I think needs us to tweak it is that how we are working out God's call on us has changed, so that we're now working with this multi-site model with Chichester and Bognor, and then next Midhurst, and after that, who can say? Well, it just means city to the sea doesn't cover it anymore, actually. So we need something that reflects the fact that we're working in two, soon to be three. And I've got faith for five locations. I just want to tell you that now. That's what I want to see, five locations. It could be more, but there are places I know in my heart that I want to see something done there and there. And then there may be, that's not a limit, but there are certain things I want Grace Church to get to. All right, so you know that. I am in faith. I'm not going to say where they are right now, but I'm in faith for certain other places to come on board with us. Second reason we need to tweak it is that culture has changed. And there are words that I used on that when we wrote it about 9 years ago that I'm no longer comfortable with. Can you spot the first one that I'm no longer comfortable with? Radical. When we wrote that, radical didn't mean terrorist. basically. And now, fundamentally, if someone is a radical, you're waiting for them to blow you up. Does that make sense? The radicals, the radical Christians, you know. Oh, no, okay. That's a genuine change of culture that's happened in the last few years. You can recognise that that word was absolutely fine. It just meant, yeah, come on, we want to be going for it. And now it means we might want to be going for other people, you know, and I don't want to, that's not us. So I think we need to ditch that word. Just recognising changing culture. I also wonder if building, some people thought that means putting up bricks and mortar. I've sometimes wondered if saying 1,000 is helpful to non-Christians looking in, though it is still a clear goal. Could sound a little bit inward looking if we're not careful. And actually, we want to be involved with serving our communities. You know, we don't just want to be inward looking, we want to be reaching around us. And I also think it's nice to be able to tell people we're Christians, not a cult, which it sort of doesn't say in there. So after a lot of, I don't know, consideration, discussion, prayer, we've actually made some changes. So I want to put up a new vision statement for you and just sit and chat to you about it, and then I'll finish. It says this, so we're going to be using this instead now. So great vision is this, to grow a dynamic Christian church, serving communities from the South Downs to the sea. I think that reflects us better. What do you think? Yeah? And it's just that change is change. It doesn't mean anything we were doing before we're not doing. Does that make sense? So in a sense, it's a change of a statement. It's not really a change of heart vision. We're still doing what we've always wanted to do. We keep on doing that. But grow, actually, I think grow speaks of life instead of build. You know, a lot of people sort of make, that was Joe's suggestion. He said, grow, we're growing. Actually, it's grow that we need to do. Grow. And grow is quite helpful because the church is a living body. So we want to grow in two ways. We want to grow in number and we want to grow in maturity. I want you to grow and I want the church to grow. So we've got to be ready for change. Dynamic, that word means movement, change and power. I won't give you the list of how many possible words were considered, but it's long. And it just kind of hit the spot, really. Because we want to be dynamic. We want to have a positive attitude ourselves and have a positive effect on people we come into contact with. And we want to affect not only those within the church, but those around us for God's kingdom. And to do that, we do need God's power, don't we? We need him to empower us by his Holy Spirit with his dunamis, that's the Greek word, dunamis power, which is where we get the word dynamite and also dynamic come from that word dunamis. We need the power of the Spirit, so that speaks of that as well. We need God to empower us everywhere we live, home, work, everywhere. Christian church means that Grace Church needs to be built in line with the pattern of church life we see in the New Testament. So we're not here to follow man-made denominational patterns. And that biblical way of doing church affects every area of church life. It affects things like leadership structure, our approach to baptism, to membership, to worship, to discipleship, to mission, to giving, to serving, to decision making, to prayer, to breaking bread together, to reading the Bible, to preaching, to our expectation of God moving amongst us in power through the work of the Holy Spirit. All of that, we want to be biblical and not be going, oh, the denominational booklet says, I don't care. Or church, you know, church tradition says, I don't care. What does the Bible say? Fundamentally, that's what we're biblical. Which means word and spirit. So we want to be honouring the Bible as God's word and making space for gifts and ministry of the Spirit. Serving communities. That means we want to establish congregations in the different areas in much the way, you know, you think of Chichester, we've got McDonald's at two ends of the city, yeah? And one serves one end of town and one serves the other. And that's right. But it's also that, so we do want to serve, we've got a congregation to serve Bognor and to serve Chichester and in time to serve Midhurst. But serving has another meaning as well, doesn't it? We want to serve our communities, actually. We want to be involved. I believe every church congregation should be involved with serving their local community. We call that Grace Works. Yeah, you look at, we've done all that before in our websites. You want to serve. And South Downs to the Sea means we're not here for one housing estate or one segment of society. I want to reach everyone who is within our area of influence with the gospel. Did you get that? Let me say it again. I want us to reach everyone in our area of influence with the gospel. Everyone. So, South Downs to the Sea. And if you look up the South Downs, smack in the middle of it, is this lovely town called Midhurst. So that's our vision statement. I think it's absolutely rooted in Jesus' Great Commission. And that's where we need to be rooted as a church. Jesus came, Jesus spoke, Jesus revealed the Father to us. All authority in heaven and earth is now his. And with that authority, he tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. So we need to be disciples who respond to that call. Amen? Amen. How is that all right? Come on, let's stand together. Let's do that. Come on, let's stand together. We're going to pray. Worship team, we're going to come up because we're going to come back to worship. And I want to pray for you. And I wonder, Eilis, I'll hand back to you in a minute, but I want to pray first. Is that all right? Who's on the keys this morning? Come and play for us, David. That'd be great. Why don't you just reach out to God where you are? I want to pray, first of all, for God to empower us wherever we live. Last week, we prayed for people to get filled with the Spirit. I just want to pray for you right now from the front, wherever you are. If you want God's power to be a witness for him, and that's what he said, didn't he? He said, oh, you will receive power and you'll be my witnesses. He said, don't even go until you've been empowered. Let me just pray for you from here. Father God, I want to pray for my dear brothers and sisters right across this church congregation that you would empower each one of us with the gospel, with your Holy Spirit's power, that we can go with the gospel. Spirit of God, I want to pray that you would just empower each one, Lord, for those in the workplace. Lord God, would you empower them in the workplace? Lord God, we want to be appropriate. Lord God, we don't want to, you know, break the rules, or we want to be appropriate, but I pray for Holy Spirit power to live as a witness and speak when the appropriate moments are there. Lord, I pray for those in school and university. Lord God, would you empower them now to be witnesses? Lord, you have brought people to this city this term, Lord God, to learn, and that's fantastic, and you've brought them to be witnesses for Jesus. So Spirit of God, I just pray for each one, every student in this place, every person at school, every teacher as well, Lord God, would you put your Spirit upon them? Rest upon them, Lord. Pray for mums and dads who are looking after their kids. Lord, we want power to be witnesses in our families with our children. Would you empower us, Lord, I pray, with our friends, Lord, every one of us, Spirit of God, we want your power. Let's just pray together for the nations on our doorstep that God has brought here. Is that all right? So Spirit of God, come on, just pray with me in your heart. I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. You pray in your heart, but you can pray out loud if you want. Spirit of God, thank you for bringing nations to the United Kingdom. Lord, thank you that we can go and we can meet people from other nations without even leaving our own street. Spirit of God, I want to pray that you would give us wisdom to reach out to every segment of society. I want to pray that every culture in Chichester and in Bognor and in Midhurst would be represented in Grace Church. Lord, we want Polish people down in Bognor. Lord God, we want Filipino people in here, Lord God. Why haven't we got them? They're here, Lord. We want them in our church. Father, we just want to say, Lord, our heart is open for nations. Lord God, would you give us opportunity to witness right across every culture, Lord? I want to thank you for people from Nigeria and Ghana and South Africa and, Lord, all these different places. Lord God, thank you. We want to reach them for the gospel. So Spirit, would you anoint us and help us? Yeah. I pray for those who are suddenly realizing they need to be a disciple of Jesus for the first time. It's not about going to church. Spirit of God, would you meet with them as they make that decision in their hearts now that they're going to be a Jesus follower? And I just also want to pray one more thing. If anyone feels a specific call to go to another nation, and what I mean long term, do you know what I mean? If you're hearing someone, actually, I think God's put such and such a place on my heart in the long term, or you may not even know the place, why don't you just stick your hand up and we can pray for you as well? Has anyone here got that sense? I think God is calling me to go and it's an overseas call. Would you just stick your mitt in the air? Don't want to miss anyone. Thank you, Debbie. That's great. Anyone else? Don't want to miss anyone. Okay. Right. Let's just pray. Have I missed anyone? Okay. Let's put hands on people. We're going to pray. Spirit of God, just want to pray for them. If there's one near you, just put your hands on them. Spirit of God, we want to pray for those called to other nations. Lord God, thank you. Some of us, Lord, you might send us short term. Lord, there's some here may not have the sense that they want to say it publicly. But again, I pray for them because you know their hearts too this morning. I know that, Lord. And I just pray, Lord God, for your Spirit to rest on those called to other places as well. Would you begin to prepare and speak into your calling on their lives? Thank you, Lord. Amen.